has been a morning, hasn't it? It has been a morning. I am excited about being here. I love this series. It's called Limits that we are in, and Pastor Richie was speaking over the last couple of weeks about limits and how we serve a limitless God, but we also are confined to limits. And so I'm excited about kind of closing out this series today. And one of the things that Richie really challenged us over the last couple of weeks is to not look at our limits as something that God can't work through. That really sums up the last couple of weeks of what he's been speaking on. Because a lot of times what we do is we look at our limitations and we think, oh, that's just my limits. Instead of looking at it as an opportunity for God to be glorified in the midst of our limits, because we serve a limitless God. That's the beauty of walking with the Lord, is that we serve a limitless God. So I don't want to take long today, but like Genesis, I am hungry, so I don't want to take long today. But I do want to share with you a few little things that I think the Lord put on my heart for this series. And for those of you that were at the women's conference, I do apologize. I want to share with you a little snapshot of my personal story. So bear with me if you already heard it, or maybe just shout me down. Amen me if you want. But let's start with this. When I was young, I learned the hard lessons of failure very quickly. At age 5, they told my mom that she can't read, she needs to be held back in kindergarten. So they held me back in kindergarten. And then from there, you know how normal life throws at you curveballs? And so relationship failures, you know, your dad's not in your life, that's your failure. You know, things like that happened pretty regularly in my life. When I graduated high school by the skin of my teeth, I went on to school to be a nurse, is what I wanted to be. And as I was in my CNA, I failed my state boards first time around. So failed my state boards. And then from there, I don't know how, but I got into the nursing program, and I failed my first semester final in the nursing program. And so it was failure after failure. And then when I was in the nursing program, my neighbor's son called me over. Bubs, you'll remember this. He called me over because he couldn't feel the left side of his body. And I didn't recognize the signs of a stroke. And he had a stroke. And he was having a stroke. And if those of you who know, it is critical for you to get help immediately when you're having a stroke. And so I would see this man after his stroke walk up and down our neighborhood. And every time I did, the enemy reminded me, you're a failure and he's in that situation because of you. And so I quit nursing school because I was a failure. Because someone's life is in my hands and I can kill someone. And so I quit. And as a result of that, I lived a mediocre life. When I would bump up against what felt like a limitation or what felt like, something, I'm not good at that, then I would just quit, or I would just hold back, or I wouldn't be who I knew I could be on the inside, but I would step back and say, no, I don't want to do that, because fear of failure, not my limitless God was who was running my life. So when we look at situations that we're going through, and we create this template in our mind for, if I bump up against a limitation, I automatically pull back and quit, you set yourself up for living a mediocre life. I'm not saying that just because you may feel like you've never accomplished anything, you know, supernaturally great, doesn't mean you don't have a great life, but I'm saying we serve a limitless God, but we can do it in the confines of our limits. There's nothing wrong with that. So fast forward to 31. I had Lexi. I was feeling not great about myself. You know how mom, after you have a baby, you're like, what is this Grinch belly that I have right here? So my brother encourages me, you should try CrossFit. He was in, you know, school at the time and a CrossFit instructor. And I'm like, there's no way I'm not doing that. And so anyway, he encouraged me. Long story short, he made me commit to 30 days. 30 days. The commitment was, you got to do it, but you have to commit to 30 days. Now, it's 21 days to develop a habit, but I think it's 30 days to fall in love with something. And so what he did was he encouraged me. And so he said, if you want to quit after 30 days, you can quit. That's your choice. But I want you to try it for 30 days. So I did. And I committed to it. And the first week, I felt like someone had run me over with a Mack truck. I wanted to die. I had a child that I was nursing, and I couldn't hold her. So that was a challenge. And, you know, so there were these funny little things that would happen. And, you know, all of a sudden, you start to develop a little bit of the language. You start to learn a little bit. You're not as sore after the first week. And you know, you develop a little bit in that time frame. And that's what happened. And he started me off small so that I wouldn't feel like, you know, I couldn't do something. So he started me off small and then, you know, gradually worked up. But after that 21-day mark, I started getting excited about it. And something switched in my brain. And as a result of that, a couple months later, 8 months later, I decided, okay, I'm going to take my certification for CrossFit so that I can coach. And what I did was I failed. I failed. I took my test and I failed. And this is what I told myself. Okay, so now you know your process. You know your process. You don't just get to pass. You got to work for it. You got to fight for it. So 5 months later, I took my test and I passed. And then what happened is the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to go back to school because I want you to stop using it as an excuse why you can't do what I've called you to do. You guys remember, I failed a lot in school. So this was a big ask. But you know what's so great about our God is that he asks us here and then here and then here. And once we've built confidence on those levels because we've constantly said yes, then he can get the big ask out of us. And so this is what I told myself. Okay, I will go back to school. I'm only taking 2 classes a semester because I know me. I'm going to study really hard and I'm not going to fail 1 class, not 1 class. And I didn't. I did not fail 1 class. I graduated with honors. And last year, that's a big, and last year I graduated. But it all started because I had to say yes to something that really sucked. And God used all of that. But what happens if I would have said, this is too hard, I quit? So in every situation that we walk through, in every season, we are going to feel limited in some way. We are limited this morning because our rack blew up. Our sound rack blew up. And so we have a very small set of instruments this morning. You feel the limitation of that. In every season that we walk through, we will feel limitations. But what you have an opportunity to do is you have an opportunity to ask the Lord in every single season, Lord, this limitation that I'm feeling, is it an opportunity for growth or is it a limit that I need to embrace? You got to ask yourself that question. Because what happens is we'll try to do some stuff in our own strength. We get frustrated, tired, and then we quit. Instead of saying, Lord, what do you have me to do in this season? And recognizing the season that you're in. Sometimes he will ask you to wait. But in Isaiah 40:31, it says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And that wait is this word, koash. And you know what it means? Wait upon the Lord. Wait. Koash. It means your physical, your mental, and your spiritual strength. That's the strength part of it right there. Let's look in Proverbs 24:5, if you guys don't mind throwing that up. Proverbs 24:5 says this, the wise are mightier than the strong. The word strong in here is azaz, A-Z-A-Z. And it's brute strength. It means brute strength. The wise are mightier than those that are just strong. Think about that for a second. The wise are mightier than the strong. Now go to verse 24:10, Proverbs 24:10. If you fail under pressure, your strength is too small. And that strength is koash. Your strength is too small. Your mental, your physical, and your spiritual strength is too small. It's not your brute strength is too small. If you fail under pressure, your brute strength is too small. No, It means you got to have all three working together. So that means if we're going to make progress in our life, I can't just try to muscle something. I can't just try to do it in my own flesh. I got to have the spirit working alongside of me. I got to have my physical strength, and I got to have my mental stability intact if I'm going to make progress. Because what happens is the enemy will line some stuff up in your life, and it feels like a barrage coming at you. A barrage of things coming at you. Like, when am I going to catch a break? But the Lord said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That means I need all of, that means I need all of this right now. All of this. When we sit in a position of waiting too long, we put ourselves in a place where we are not used by God. And it's not because he doesn't want to use you. It's because you're more afraid to fail than you are for him to work through your life. And we look at, if I step out right now and I do something and I fail, then Misty, has to carry the weight of that. And guess what? What my friend Jenny said today, I don't know those of you that know or not, she had throat cancer. She had thyroid cancer, and they had to remove her throat. And they told her, you might not ever be able to sing again. And Jenny said, you know what? I am going to sing again because I serve a limitless God. And I might have to sound like I didn't sound before, but I'm going to step out in faith, and I'm going to do what he's called me to do, because I know that he met me here, and he met me here, and he healed my body. So I'm going to be okay with that. So we're going to give God glory in every season. And your ability to work through difficulty just means that you're willing to stay in it. Some of us don't want to stay in it. If it doesn't come easy, I'm going to give up. If my marriage isn't easy, I'm going to walk away. If my kid is difficult, that's it. Forget it. I'm just leaving it to their own devices. Your ability to stay in it is the very testimony that God wants to use. The very testimony that God wants to use. So I want to talk about, before we leave today, three lies that we believe that keep us from making progress. Three lies. The first lie is this. Thank you, babe. I appreciate that. He said these are good. He put my notes in. The first lie is this. I can be anyone. I can be anyone. I can. I think parents, we do a disservice to our kids when we tell them this. You can be anything. You can be anyone you want. Anyone. And it feels right to say that, doesn't it? Except for we know our kids. We do. And you set them up for failure when you tell them you can do any. You can be anyone you want. Anyone. When we know that Proverbs 139 says this. He fashioned me in my mother's womb. He knit me together. How unique you've made me. You've made me fearfully and wonderfully made. So when we don't embrace who God has called us to be, when we don't embrace our limitations, when we don't embrace what we're not so that we can know what we are, then we set ourselves up for failure. And what we do is we tell people, you can be anyone, and it causes frustration. It causes frustration inside of them because it's too big of a canvas. Parents, God has given you the beautiful privilege of reminding your children every day that they're an image bearer of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and that he put his spirit inside of them, and that the development of that is not something to be negative about, but it's something to be positive about, because we get to walk out our salvation daily. Don't tell people they can be anything they want. It's a lie. Myth number two is this. I can do anything. Missy, you are so mean. I can do anything. No, you cannot. No, you cannot. We are limited by our personality, our unique makeup, and the gifts and the talents that we possess. When students are in, actually Mia's taken this, it's in seventh grade, she did it, and it was a career aptitude test. And I thought it was crazy. In seventh grade, they're taking this test right now to find out what they're going to be. And the reason is this. The career aptitude test, teachers, you know this. It's not to tell kids what they're good at in school. They know what they're good at, and they know what they're not good at in school. It's not that. It's to give them self-awareness. And you know what? As Christians, this book provides self-awareness because it is a mirrored reflection of what we need to reflect inside of us and who God has called us to be. But the problem is we don't sit with the word and we don't sit and allow it to wash over us and to speak truth to us. And so what we do is we just hang on to whatever this person does or that person says, or however my dad made me feel, or however my mom made me feel, and I attach it to my self-worth, and that becomes what I do and what I say and who I am. And that is not what God has called you to do. He is limitless. We are not limitless. He's limitless. We are not limitless. So we need to have some self-awareness of who we are. Listen, I cannot be in an environment, a work environment that's crazy, like quiet all the time, that we don't, you know, we just sit in our cubicle. And the only time I see my coworker is when they pop up like, you know, whack-a-mole. You know, I can't be in an environment like that. I will literally feel like I'm suffocating to death. So would, for me, would I go out and become a librarian? No. I got to talk to people. We got to have a dance party in the middle of our workday. You know, we got to have fun. That's why I love working with old people, because we have fun. We have fun throughout the day. But you got to know who you are. You got to know your personality type. And to tell someone that they can be anything they want, help guide them. Help direct them. Give them wisdom in that. Isn't that what we just learned? That's what Proverbs says. We need to get wisdom. We need to be able to speak truth to a situation. Baby, I know you might want to be an astronaut, but we're getting F's enough. How are we going to do this? Now, it doesn't mean it's not an area. Remember our question. Is this an opportunity for growth, or is this a limitation I need to embrace? So you got to ask that question in every season. Lord, if my kid is supposed to be an astronaut, but we're getting F's in math, I'm going to need your help in this. We might need to get a math tutor. Honey, you might not need to get a second job so we can pay for Kumon. You know what I'm saying? Like, we might need some help here if that's truly what it's supposed to be. But that, again, that's your question in every season. The third myth is this: I can go anywhere. I can go anywhere. I can do anything. I think the biggest example of someone who embraced limits when they were on this earth is Jesus. Think about his life. He was at creation. It said, "Let us make man in our image." That means all three, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, were all there. Yet, when God asked him, "I need you to go to earth because I need you to save these people," that means he had to take off his deity and set it to the side. And he had to say, "Okay, Lord, I will become subject to the very people that I created." And for the first couple of years of his life, he had to be completely dependent upon people that he created. What? And we can't ask for help. And we don't want to say, "Hey, I could really use some help right now." The Savior of the world subjected himself to a woman for food, for nourishment. And we run around like a chicken with our head cut off. Like, they should know how I feel. They should ask me, tell me I need help. You know, you need to ask for help. Some of our limits come up. And we bump against our limit because we don't want to ask for help. Because I'm going to do it in my own flesh. I can handle it. Remember, that's not wise, according to Proverbs. Sometimes we do need other people. Sometimes we need to be okay saying, hey, can you help mommy fold the laundry? Y'all, I've seen, look at mine. I think my mom loves laundry more than she loves us kids. No, that's not true. That's not true. But Jesus embraced his limits. So he subjected himself to being cared for by people that he created. Not only that, but he did not do anything that his father didn't ask him to do. He didn't have a blank canvas. He knew what his mission was. He knew what his mission was. They tried to get him to start a church in a couple of different spots, but Jesus said, no, we got to do the will of my father. You don't just get to do whatever you want. If God has called you to something, Jonah, it doesn't matter how far you run, you're going to circle right back around to that. And that area that feels like a limitation, God won't let me do what I want to do, is really an opportunity for your growth. Because you're going to learn some stuff in that waiting season that God is developing inside of you so that you can hold what he has in the next season. But we want to bypass the hard and skip right over to the easy. And God's saying, if I let you do that, then you're going to fail. Your testimony is going to be crap in the next season. For some of us, we need to learn what it means to develop a skill before we have it, before we need it. If I'm waiting on a spouse, but I'm wild, how am I going to be okay in the next season? Being nailed down. Because that's what it feels like sometimes. Just being real. What about with kids? What about with kids? We dream about having kids, but we don't prepare before we have them. And then we get into a situation and we're like, I'm using all my old tricks from my past and it's not working. Because they didn't work that in back then, they're not going to work now. And you're going to repeat a generational curse because you can't lock in on what God has asked you to do. That's the reality of us having this blank canvas of I can do anything, I can go anywhere, I can be anyone. But you're going to perpetuate a lie from the enemy over and over again. And then you're going to look back over your life and go, well, why didn't I make any progress? Because you didn't learn what it meant to get koash, wisdom, physical, mental, and spiritual wisdom in your waiting season. And so in the next season, we want God to bless us. And he's like, but I need you to go back there and learn some stuff. I need you to sit. And some of us feel like we're in timeout. And we will buck in our spirit, and we are mad, and I don't want to read the word because it doesn't tell me what I want to hear. And that's part of the problem. Because we want to hear what we want to hear. I'm going to open up the Bible. Lord, speak directly to my spirit today about how you're going to make me soar on wings like eagles. And he's like, you know, Jesus wept. You know, that's what it opens up to. But we don't want to sit. We don't want to learn. And the Lord's saying, if you want to grow in the next season, it's going to require more of you, not less of you. If you want God to trust you with more responsibility, you're going to have to sit in his presence and let him speak truth to you, because there's some stuff he needs to unravel from your past. There's some faulty thinking that we've allowed other people to associate to us. And God's saying, that's not who I called you to be. I'm sorry that they didn't tell you that that's not what you were gifted in, but I've actually got this for you. And as a result of that, this is the very thing that I'm going to use to testify. This is my kid. But some of us are so locked into, oh, I want to look like that. I want to be like that. And you're going to stunt your growth. Because God's called you to be who he's called you to be, not who other people have called you to be. So we're going to ask the Holy Spirit in every season, Lord, I'm feeling limited right now. I'm feeling a limitation. Is this an opportunity to grow? Or is this a limitation I need to embrace? And when I do that, he's going to speak truth to you. I promise you. I promise you. You don't have to worry about him speaking to you. He will. He speaks to you now. He just probably says what you don't want to hear and you don't listen. I am coming for you, girl. I am coming for you. we are going to give you these rubber bands when you leave. You know, I love visuals. They're my faves. So we're going to give you these rubber bands when you leave. And the reason why the rubber band is so significant today is because nobody gets mad at a rubber band for having a limitation. That's what we want it to do. We want it to be limited because that means it's effective at holding. If I have a rubber band on my arm and it's not, it doesn't have elastic in it, it's going to fall right off. If I put it on something, it's not going to hold it. So why do we look at our limitations as a bad thing? When God said, I've put these limitations around you for a reason, because at this level, I know what you can hold. I know what you can hold. And I'm not scared to stretch that rubber band a little bit at a time, but you're going to have to be patient. You're going to have to let me stretch it. But we want to stretch it out. Stretch it out. Give me more, Lord. And then you snap. And you break down. And you're overwhelmed. And you're frustrated. And you beat the dog. And you cuss at your kids. Because you didn't let God stretch you to the point where you could hold. You just acquired more and you snapped. And that's not the same. It's not the same. Before we close out today, and I wanna just give testimony to something. About a month ago, we got a report of someone who used to go to this church, who doesn't anymore, but we got a report that her cancer had returned and that she was dying. She was given 30 days to live. 30 days. And initially, what feels like, okay, we watched her go through chemo. We watched her lose her hair. We watched them say, okay, you probably have another 2 years to live. And then about 2 years later, we watched cancer come back. And we all stood in faith, believing confidently that God was going to heal her. And when we got the clean chemo report, we were so excited and so happy. And then we hear the cancer returned and she's given 30 days to live. They sent her home from the hospital with hospice. It was dire. It was dire. And so I felt like we needed to bring meals. But I didn't want people just bringing meals. So it was strategic. So I apologize if you weren't asked, but it was strategic. So what I did was I said, I want people who are going to go and pray, not people who are just going to bring food, because there's a difference. I can meet a personal need. I can meet a physical need, but what you really need in this moment is a spiritual need. It's deeper than just me feeding your belly. And so it was strategic. And I knew when I asked Sharon, and I said to her, Sharon, when you go over there, I want you to pray for her. Everybody that went over there, I said, pray for her. And so here's what happened. Sharon goes over and she prays for her. But when she gets there, what she sees is not what she wants to see. She sees people already dividing up her stuff. Talk about solidifying a death sentence. And I believe it was the Holy Spirit that rose up inside Sharon. And I'm glad that she saw them dividing up her stuff. Because like gangbusters, she went in there and she was like, do you want to die of cancer? And she said, no, I don't. And Sharon said, then you're not going to die of cancer. And we're going to pray right now. And she prayed. And 2 days later, she was healed, y'all. Healed of cancer. Don't tell me that we don't serve a limitless God. Don't tell me that our limitations aren't an opportunity for God's glory. Don't tell me that. So today, when you are sitting in your situation and you're like, Lord, I feel limited. Lord, I'm sick in my body. That is not who He has called you to be. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He has called you to be healed. He's called you to walk it out. So walk out your salvation. Walk it out. I don't care if there's 10 people in this room or 5,000 people in this room. We are a body of believers. And oh, Jesus. We will not take what the devil dishes out. We will not. He can mess with our sound. He can mess with our building. The electric. I don't give a crap. And I'm saying it just like that. Because you cannot take what God has put inside of us. You cannot take the promise that he's given us. That we will walk in power. And that as a result of that, this church will walk in power. We will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. We will see God do miracles. I'm believing God that we are going to see people raised from the dead because that's what he's called us to do. Not what we want to do, but what he's called us to do. So get in his presence, church, this week. Get ready for what he's called you to do. And don't be afraid like gangbusters when the devil, you see him running amok. No, sir, that's not what we are doing here. That's not what we're doing here. So before we close out today, we're going to worship. Prayer team, if you would come up here, please. Because there's some stuff that people are believing for. Yeah, just come on up. There's some stuff that people are believing God for. I don't care if it's a generational curse. I don't care what it is that you are believing God for. Richie's praying for people today, y'all. He's the plan. Whatever it is that you are believing God for, and I don't care if you have been given a whatever sentence you have been given. God healed John and Kathy last year of melanoma cancer. Jenny's been healed of cancer. God, listen, I'm waiting for God to grow limbs. I'm waiting for it. Don't put it past our God. Don't put it past our God. So we're going to worship our way out of here today, and we're going to go in faith. If you need prayer, get prayer. Don't hold back because you're like, I don't want to go to the front. Go up, walk up in faith, and just let somebody pray for you. I promise you, it's probably more about God transforming your thoughts in that moment and showing you that he's got more for you. So let's worship our way out of here today. Amen.